We have l'chora two sugyas that contradict each other. We have the sugya of Evan Shenekra Mimkoma, that's on Daf Chav Dalet, in the sugya of Ritzpa, where the Kohen has to be standing on the Ritzpa Sazor when he does the Avoda. And now he's standing not on the Evan on the top layer, but on the bottom layer. And the question is, says the Gemara, how far did David Amelch's Kiddush go? Was he Mekadosh only the Elyonim or even the Tachtonim, right down to the Tahom? And yet, on the other hand, we have a Gemara here on Daf Nun Ches, that establishes, based on Rabbi Yehuda and a pasuk back in the parsha of Chanukah Samizbeach, that it was Shlomo HaMelech who was Mekadosh the Migdosh. He was Mekadosh the Azorah. In fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kiddush of Shlomo HaMelech in the Azorah was so far-reaching that you could be makir of the carbon on the Ritzvah Sazor itself. You didn't even have to put it on the Mizbeach. The Gemara itself vacillates back and forth. Maybe l'chatchila, you should, if all things are equal, put the carbon on the Mizbeach. But certainly, you know, Shlomo, given the massive volume of carbonis that he brought on that one single day, there was no possibility of bringing them all on the Mizbeach. He brought it on the Ritzvah Sazor. So he had to make a Kaddish, the Ritzvah Sazor. So who was it? Was it David? Or was it Shlomo? Interesting that both Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugya Daf Chav Dalet assume kepshuta shel sugya that it was David HaMelech who was Mekadosh the Azor. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav Halacha Yudalet, paskins explicitly that the Kiddush was that of Shlomo. And the Rambam writes that Shlomo is Mekadesh the Azorah and Yerushalayim l'shaitan u'liyasid lovo, which means that the Azorah, the Mokom Azorah, is a Kiddush even today, despite any sort of other religious structures that are on top of the Azorah. But nevertheless, we could actually be makav a carbon today. The question would be, do we have a Mizbeach, and whether or not Mizbeach is ma'akiv in carbon. But makriv and afal pishein migdosh. So the Rambam clearly indicates that it was Shlomo who was Mekadesh Yerushalayim and the Azorah, and that seems to contradict the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Chav Dalet. So in order to answer this question, Rav Soloveitchik in his inimitable style asks another kasha. Sometimes you ask another kasha and you can get an answer to your first kasha. You know, you would think that you know, that's counterintuitive. And he says the following. There's a contradiction in the Rambam, which the Lecha Mishnah points out, between the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim and the Rambam at the beginning, the opening Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. In Hilchos Melachim, after the Rambam codifies that there are three mitzvos that Bnei Yisrael were obligated in when they entered into the land, the third of which is to build a Beis HaBechira. So the Rambam is now codifying the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, and he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, L'shichno Sidrashu U'bas HaShama. In other words, you should be Doresh the Shechina, look for the Shechina when you come to the land, and there the Torah says, B'mokom Asher Yivchar, in that place where I've chosen, there you build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the source in the Rambam, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Alf Halach Alf, for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. But as the Lecha Mishnah is quick to point out, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira quotes an entirely different pasuk, a whole different parsha, the parsha in Truma. And there in Parshas Truma, the Rambam says, "Mitzvah sase lasos bayis lashem." There's a mitzvah to build a bayis lashem. Shenemar v'yosuli migdash. And as if totally oblivious to what the Rambam is going to write later on in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam quotes the parasha of Truma v'yasuli Migdash rather than the parasha in Re'eh of L'shichno Sidrashu V'as Hashom. Now, whenever you see two different sources for the same mitzvah, you always, by definition, if you're a shtickel brisker, you come to the conclusion of Tzvei Dinim, that there are two different dimensions to the mitzvah. And in the case of building the Beis HaMikdash, the only thing that we can notice here, if we want to somehow generate two different dimensions, is the following. Number one, we see that the Rambam in Hilchos Peis HaBechira is not making this mitzvah contingent upon anything at all. The Rambam says mitzvah say lasos bayis l'Hashem. Whereas in Hilchos Malachim he says that this mitzvah building a bayis is contingent on the fact that we entered into the land, and number one, we fulfilled the mitzvah of Minui Melech, and then we destroyed our enemies and the mitzvah Mechias HaMolech, and then finally we build the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a whole sequence here, A, B, and then finally build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rabbi Hilchos Beis HaMechiras seems to indicate that there's a separate independent mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash that's not contingent and dependent upon any other mitzvahs that we have to fulfill. So we already begin to see that there are different dimensions of the mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash. And add to that the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, when he quotes the pasuk in Re'eh, he calls it not a Beis HaMikdash, but rather he calls it the Beis HaBechira. So you wonder if that phrase Beis HaBechira has some sort of special significance, because when the Rambam speaks in Hilchos Beis HaBechira itself, he speaks about Viyasuli Migdash. You know, he calls it a Migdash. In Hilchos Malachim, he changes the terminology, and instead of calling it a Migdash, he calls it what? Beis HaBechira. And by the way, you get the sense that that's not coincidental, because he quotes the pasuk as the source in Hilchos Malachim of L'shichno Sidrashu Bas HaShama. That whole parsha is about Beis HaBechira, because the Torah there says, I should bring out a Chumash, and maybe you could, if I can bother you to open up the parshas Re'eh in Sefer Dvarim, and there the Torah says HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And this is interesting, because what does the phrase HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem indicate? Well, let me ask you a question. When you say it's the place that's chosen, what is your next question that you have to ask? And the Torah doesn't seem to answer this question.
I mean, I'm assuming it's chosen by Hashem.
Right, chosen by Hashem. Amokom Asher Yivcha Hashem. That it says. But what question do I have to ask? The Torah says that there's a place that was chosen by God. Okay, great. But what do I, if I want to implement that mitzvah, what question do I have to ask?
Location.
Exactly. You know, if you're in real estate, location, location, location. So where is this place? And by the way, who dedicated almost his whole life with a craving and a desire to find that location?
David HaMelech.
And that's full sugyas here, Masechta Zevachim.
Also, the location changed, really. Because if you're going by the Holy Mikdash includes the Mishkan.
Beautiful. So is it possible, and this is what Shmuel is touching on, that there's some concept called the Beis HaMikdash, and it moves from place to place, and then there's a concept called the Beis HaBechira, Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, which is absolutely exclusive. It's that place and no other place. Because otherwise it's very strange to call something a Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem and then move around from place to place. And we could reformulate that question the following way. If the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira based on the pasuk of Yosuli Migdash, well, where was that Migdash built? In the Midbar. I mean, that's very strange. That's the Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem. You know, for 40 years, we traveled through the wilderness. That's the Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem. So again, the very fact that we have the Parshin Re'eh of a Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem, and that would seem to indicate that we're talking about one exclusive place on the face of the globe. And on the other hand, the Rambam has a mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, which is derived from Yosuli Migdash, which is clearly a Mishkan in the Midbar in its context. It's not referring to a Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So there's some sort of clear indication here that there are two different parshios and perhaps two different sources and even definitions of the essence of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And in the parsha in Re'eh, we're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash in the sense of, you know, four walls and some sort of definite structure, but it could be collapsed and moved to another place, and it's just simply a place for Hakrovas HaKarbonos. And Hamokom Asher Yivchar Hashem sounds like something much more profound and far-reaching. Let me take a look at the pasuk here. Thank you so much. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, and this is a very important pasuk that we have to come back to with regard to achilas kodshim, and in this case, even Maaser Sheni, The Torah says, Lo sucha lechol bisharecha. Does anybody know what the flip side of Lo sucha lechol bisharecha is? Now, it's don't eat it bisharecha, but eat it where? What's the where here? No. It's in Yerushalayim. No, but how do I know this? Because we're talking about Maaser. Maaser doesn't require Beis HaMikdash. It requires Yerushalayim. And not only that, it says Bechoros Bekarcha V'tzonacha. That's a Bechar. The Bechar could also be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Fine. It's very interesting because this pasuk seems to be addressing what we call Kachim Kalim, not Kachim, and somehow Maaser gets integrated. We're talking about Maaser Sheni on the first, second, fourth, and 50 years of the Shemitah cycle, integrated into this whole framework of Kachim Kalim. And that's as far as Yerushalayim is concerned. But then the Torah goes on to tell you that we have now a mitzvah called Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. Now we're probably talking about what I call Kodshei Kodshim, which means, let's say, in the case of Asham and Chatos, we have to eat the Asham v'Chatos. That's only Zichrei Kuna, but that has to be eaten in Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So now we finished with Kachim Kalim, we got to the higher level of Kachim Kachim, and for that we need not just Yerushalayim and Lo Sucha Lechol Bisharecha outside Yerushalayim, now we need the Makom HaMikdash itself, specifically a Makom that was Mekudosh for Kedushas Mizbeach, Kedushas Karbonos. And where is this place? Ribbono Shalom, where is the place? The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that God deliberately concealed the location of the place. Says the Rambam, why did the Torah use the term, this general, shall we say, secretive kind of undefined term called Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem? Says the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, because had the Torah revealed the exact location of the place, then all the nations of the world would have rose up in Milchama and battled to conquer that place. They did it anyway, by the way. And that's what the Torah says over here. And then the Torah says that this is the place that Hashem chooses, and Shom, at that place, we should... Where's the pasuk that I'm looking for now? Did I miss it? Alright, I don't find it now. I'm just, if you can find it here, L'Shichno Sidrashu. If you can find that, Pasu. Yeah, Ben.
I was just saying that, apropos to this week's Parsha, L'Chakila, we were supposed to just leave Mitzrayim and go straight to Yerushalayim and maybe build the Beit HaMikdash. It's kind of b'di'evet that we're in the desert for 40 years and had the...
Right, so there's some sort of b'di'evet halacha of building a Beit HaMikdash, but the Rambam sees in that mitzvah of Doros, that's going to take us through the generations to build a Beis HaMikdash. And ostensibly that mitzvah would apply even today. But then the Rambam, when he gets to Hilchos Melachim and he's talking about entering into Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden the Rambam shifts the tune, and instead of talking about building a Beis HaMikdash, he speaks about building a Beis HaMachira. And not only that, he quotes an entirely different pasuk. Right, he says, Ki im ala mokom asha yivcha Hashem elokeichem mikol shivteichem losum eshmo shom l'shichno sidrushu basa shama. Here's another interesting point. The pasuk says, whenever you want to get a hold of a piece of land, what do you need for that? You need bucks, right? So where do these bucks come from? Is it going to be like man, and you know, the dollar bills are going to fall from shamayim? No. It says mikol shivteichem. Interesting, we're going to have to do a collection from all the Shvatim, which is a very exciting concept because it means that the Beis HaMikdash belongs to whom?
Everybody,
all of Klal Yisrael. So we've got to make sure they all chip in. And we're going to see soon who's going to collect these funds. But L'shichno Sidrushu, we're asking for a craving, a desire for the Shekhinah. And that's where we're going to establish what? The Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So it's very interesting, you know, in a sense, Parshas Truma is a lot more, if I could say it, cut and dry. You know, sometimes when I give you a mitzvah, like any legal system, the Torah's legal system is very cut and dry. It tells you exactly what to do and how to fulfill the mitzvah. Occasionally, the Torah embellishes it with a kind of emotional attachment. So if you go back to Parshas Truma, there's like no emotions over here. You know, it just says that, what's the pasuk again? Vasuli Migdash. Just build a Migdash. It's like a structure. Here, there's a whole emotional frenzy over here. You know, L'shichno Sidrishu. You know, you gotta have a Drisha, you have to be Doresh the place, you look for it, search it, identify it, and it's the Makom Asher Yivchar, this is the place that God chose. And all this hype here, you know, with emotional hype. So Rav Soloveitchik, in order to understand why the Rambam has two different sources for the mitzvah of building the Migdash, he says, and there's one word here which I can't understand, maybe you'll help me with that, he says, Achein nire poshut. Why does he add the word poshut? I didn't find this poshut at all. I was racking my brains that I couldn't come up with it, but he says nire poshut. Maybe he means nira vadai. Not that it's poshut, but it's definitely so. It's emes la mito. Shtei mitzvos nemru. There are two fundamentally different mitzvahs here. There's one mitzvah called binyan migdash, beis hamigdash. That means the four walls, the structure. And that's derived, he says, from the pasuk of the asuli migdash, the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. V'zeh eino shayach la'aretz. That's not, has nothing to do with the mitzvah of conquering the land. It's not even a mitzvah that's limited to the land of Israel. It can apply anywhere on the face of the globe. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amolek, of destroying Amolek, which are the mitzvahs that the Rama makes preconditional in Hilchas Malachim for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaBechira. Vegam, he says, is another mitzvah which is called Binyan Beis HaBechira. And that's a binyan which has to be built in one specific place. Again, in biblical language, how do I know it has to be built in one specific place? What phrase does Rav Soloveitchik have in mind over here? Bechira, Makom Asher Yivchar. Again, it's got to be in one specific place. And that's going to be on the Har HaBayis, in the Makom HaMikdash. And he says, Mishum, why are there two mitzvahs here, two dimensions of building the Mikdash, is because there's one chalos called Mikdash, and there's another chalos called Beis HaBechira. Ve'hem shneim dvarim nifradim. They're two separate things. Now again, you know, nobody ever thought of this. Like, what happened for like 2,000 years? Nobody came up with this idea. You know, we use these terminologies interchangeably. You know, there's a Beis HaMikdash, and there's a Beis HaBechira. You know what? Maybe what we think is we have a different nomenclature. We talk about Mishkan, and we talk about Migdash. We don't differentiate between Migdash and Beis HaBechira. We tend to identify Migdash and Beis HaBechira. Those are two identical or synonymous terms, as opposed to Mishkan. So if you ask me why v'yasuli Migdash v'shachanti v'socham in the Midbar, and then afterwards when they enter into the land in Nov and Givon and Shiloh, and what did I skip? I left out something or other, whatever it is. And those are different places which could be in Eretz Yisrael, could be outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the Makom HaMikdash, on the Bay of Har Moriah, outside of the Har Moriah, because we think that's Mishkan. And Rav Soloveitchik takes a very sharp opposition to that position. The Rambam uses that pasuk for the Beis HaMikdash as a mitzvah l'doros for all generations. And, you know, you should not identify that as a mishkan, like some sort of flighty kind of temporary kind of mitzvah. No, it's a permanent mitzvah. It's the source for mitzvah l'doros. And it's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Don't call it a mishkan. If you call it a mishkan, you're just going to get confused. All the laws that apply to the Mishkan apply to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishkan is the Beis HaMikdash. All the Karbanos are brought, all the Kiddushin, whatever has to be sanctified. The Mishkan back in the Midbar had three different Machnos, you know, had the Machna Leviya, the Machna Shechina, the Machna Yisrael. And all the Dinim of Beis HaMikdash are an exact mirror image of the Dinim that applied back at the time of the Mishkan. In fact, there's going to be a whole discussion why the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed would not be used in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Otherwise, we would assume that just like the Mizbeach is a valid Mizbeach in the Mishkan, which is a Mikdash, should be valid in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Now again, if we accept this thesis that there are basically two different mitzvahs, two different statuses, if there's such a word, status in plural. How do you say status in plural? Stati. If they're two different Stati, it sounds like something from, you know, from Bangkok. But anyway, if they right, if there's two different ties, I mean Stati's, then you might already begin to understand why the Rambam needs two different psukim. But more than that, you might be able to understand why we need David and Shlomo. That David and Shlomo are going to play two different roles. You know, David might play a role in terms of Beis HaMechira, and Shlomo in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, or vice versa, I don't know. But that's very exciting. But again, you'll have to ask yourself the question, why is it that the Mikdash could be built anywhere on the face of the earth? It doesn't require Yushalayim. And why is it that the Beis HaMechira is going to be limited to Yushalayim? So he says the following. Makom HaMikdash, the place for the Mikdash, again, we're not talking about Beis HaBechira, be careful, can be anywhere, Chutz Yushalayim. It doesn't have to be in Yushalayim. Alpi Dibur. You know, it all depends on what the Navi will instruct us. So you have Gilgal, that's one I think I left out. Gilgal, Shiloh, Nov, Givon, and again, the paradigm, which is not on this list, is what? The Midbar itself. That's called Mikdash. And in each one of these places, there was a Mikdash. And in the case of Shiloh, it was almost four centuries of Mikdash in Shiloh. Masha Enke, Beis HaBechira, that's got to be on Har Moriah. And that's for all generations. There can never, ever be a Beis HaBechira anywhere outside of the Har Bayis, outside of Yerushalayim. And that's what the Rambam is referring to when he says, at the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, oh, this is a very important Rambam. Now here the going goes a little rough for me. Until now it was pretty smooth. The Rambam speaks about what's called an Iser Bamos, which means that once the Beis HaMikdash is established in its place, then we can no longer be makriv outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's just analyze. Does that halacha of an Iser Bamos apply A, to the Beis HaBechira, or B, even to the Beis HaMikdash? What's your answer? Even to the Beis HaMikdash, because as long as there was a Mikdash, there was no Heter Bamos. Meaning, while the Mikdash stood in Gilgal or Nov or Shiloh, you were not allowed to set up your own Bama. However, what about in between? When, let's say, there was a Churban of Shiloh, and before they arrived at Nov and Givon, in that period of time, or for example, in a period of time between the Midbar, when the Midbar period ended and the Mishkan was taken apart, from that time and on, up until they established the Mishkan in Gilgal, and then subsequently in Shiloh, during those periods of history, there was a Heter Bamos. So it's interesting. As long as the Mikdash stands, there's no Heter Bamos. But when the Mikdash is destroyed, then there is a Heter Bamos. But all this applies only to what? Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't apply, as Aaron said before, to what? To Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira, once chosen, the whole nature of Bechira means the exclusion of any other possibility, and that's L'dorei Doros. So if we get to the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim, here the Rambam should be establishing an Iser Bama Li'olam forever and ever. In Hilchas Beis HaBechira, when the Rambam opens up the mitzvahs Asali Migdash, there you're talking about a Beis HaMikdash. As long as that Migdash stands, then there's an Iser Bama. But with the destruction of that Mishkan or that Migdash, there would be a Heter Bamas. So this gets a little bit rough for me, because he says Beperek Alf Hilchas Beis HaBechira Locha Gimel. He writes Kevin She Nivna Migdash B'Yushalayim Nesru Kol HaMakomos Kulam Livnos Behem Bayis Lashem. The Ancient Bayis Lidore Doros Elav Yushalayim Bilvad Bahara Moria. So Rabosai, I have to make the following point. It's just a technical point, but it might calm me down a little bit, because I would have expected the Rambam would have codified this halacha of the Issa to build another Mikdash, Lidore Doros, outside of Yerushalayim, in Hilchos Melachim, because in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam is talking about the unique, exclusive place for the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim. But I should be calm about this, because Hilchos Beis HaBechira is not limited simply to Beis HaMikdash. Hilchos Beis HaBechira Kishmohu includes even the laws of Beis HaBechira, not just the laws of Beis HaMikdash. In other words, although the Rambam opens up Hilchos Beis HaBechira with the mitzvah and the source for the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, when he gets to Halacha Gimel, he's already talking about the Mikdash that's built in Yerushalayim. That's already Beis HaBechira. And from that time and on, there will never ever be a heter to be makriv any karbonos or build any sort of a mizbeach outside of Yerushalayim. So I just want you to keep this point in mind. You could jump to the wrong conclusion and assume that the Rav here is going to tell me that all of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, like Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, is limited to a discussion about Beis HaMikdash. That's not so. He starts with the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, but then he goes on to the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. Where does he codify the mitzvah and the source for the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira? That's in Hilchos Melachim. And why does he leave that to Hilchos Melachim? Because there he's talking about all the mitzvahs that apply starting with Minui Melech and on. In other words, the mitzvah Melchama, and that's what the Rambam calls it, Hilchos Melachim u'Melchamoseihem, because that's his subject in Hilchos Melachim, and one of the main mitzvahs that is generated by Melech plus Melchama is the mitzvah Beis HaBechira. But if you want to know the specific details and the laws of Beis HaBechira, that's where you'll find it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph is Beis HaMikdash, because the Rambam is going back early in history, before the period of Shlomo HaMelech, who built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And in that period of time, up until Shlomo HaMelech, there was only a mitzvah Beis HaMikdash derived from the pasuk V'yasu Li Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. That's in Halacha Aleph. Then he goes on, he fast forwards in Jewish history to the time of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. That's already Beis HaBechira. And that din of Beis HaBechira will apply and generate an Iser Bama Li'olam L'dorei Doros. Now, the Rav, when he speaks about Shiloh and the Mishkan in all the other places, starting with the Midbar, he says the following, Kevan, take off Shebatlu. So let's say, for example, Shiloh, I think Shiloh was 369 years, whatever it was, after Shiloh was destroyed, then Hutra Abamos. So in that period of time, between Shiloh and Nov and Givon, for example, there was a Heter Bamos. But Liachar Shenivna Amigdash B'Yushalayim, that's already the Rambam Halacha Gimel, that's already Beis HaBechira, Nesru Abamos Li'olam. And he says the following, it's very interesting. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, which is here on Daf Samach in Mesech Tzvachim, it also appears elsewhere in Shas, whether Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Lasid Lova or Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Lasid Lova. Now, this Iser Bamos does not depend upon Kitchel Shaita Uli Asid Lova or Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Asid Lova. In other words, with regard to Shiloh and a Mishkan, what generates the Iser Bama is the Mikdash itself, the physical structure of the Mikdash. And therefore, when it's destroyed, then the Kedush is gone, and there's no Oser, there's nothing to generate an Iser Bamos, and therefore there's Heter Bamos. Are you following me this time? This is a very important point. So again, when the Mishkan in Shiloh, for example, is destroyed, the Kedusha of that Mishkan, of that Beis HaMikdash, is gone, it's history, and at that point there's no Iser Bamos. Masha Enkein Gabi Beis Olamim, once the chosen place is found, located, the Mikdash is built on that place, then the Oser here is not called Beis HaMikdash, which means the four walls and the structure of the Mikdash as a physical entity, but rather Beis HaBechira. And once it's a Beis HaBechira, means we finally found the place that God chose for Migdash, for Beis Hashem. Then Ein Shu Makom Acher, that's called a Beis Bechira La'olamim for all time, and there never will be a Heter Bama. So for example, in the 70 year period between Nebuchadnezzar and Lahavdil El Favdolos Ezra Nechemiah, before the second Migdash was built, during those 70 years, would somebody be allowed to set up his own Bama?
No.
Absolutely not. I don't know why the Rav had to go through the sugya of Kitchel Shaita. This would be a better proof, because even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's irrelevant. There's something called Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira, Rabosai, is much more abstract than Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, Beasuli Mikdash, is physical. The Kedusha itself is dependent on something physical. In the case of Beis HaBechira, in order to generate an Iser Bama, we're not really talking about something physical, we're talking about a location. The difference is between, I don't know if you're familiar with these terms, I should write them on the board maybe, there's something called Kedushas Mechitzos, and then something called Kedushas Makom. Kedushas Mechitzos really depend upon the Mechitzos. And that's going to be the whole sugya. What happened when the Mechitzos go down? Is there still some vestige of that Kedusha? But in the case of Kedushas Makom, once the Makom is sanctified, then it becomes a Beis HaBechira L'Olamim, and you can never set up a bais anywhere else. And therefore, Af Im Lo Kitchel Asid Lavo, Kedushas Migdash Batel. So even if I would assume that the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is completely gone during that 70-year period between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, or after the Churban and the second Bais, and I would say that according to this Ma'adi Omer, the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, once it's destroyed, once the physical Mikdash is destroyed, is completely gone, Mikomakom, but what's left is the status of Beis HaBechira, Nish'eres L'doros. And how does that express itself in halachic terms? You're not allowed to build a Bama anywhere, anytime, once the Beis HaBechira was established in Yerushalayim. Now he says what's implicit in everything. Now he says it explicitly here, but it was implicit in everything he presented, that as far as Beis HaMikdash is concerned, there's no precondition that you have to have Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis. Right? And he's going to prove this from a sugya in Zvachim. But again, I don't even think we need the sugya in Zvachim. We could just simply prove it from the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was set up outside of Yerushalayim time and time again, whether it's in the Midbar, whether it's in Nov, given Gilgal and all the rest, Shiloh. So I'm not sure exactly why Rav Soloveitchik feels compelled to go through an entire proof here that Beis HaMikdash doesn't depend upon Yerushalayim. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash was in many different locations. So if I were to tell you, Rabosai, that in the English language we have two words that we can put together as a contrast one to the other. One is temporary and one is permanent. Which of these two chalosim, these two stati, would be, if I asked you for a matching, would be relevant to these two words, permanent and temporary?
Mishkan is temporary.
But you leave out the word Mishkan because it's only going to confuse me.
Beit HaBechira is permanent.
It's permanent, and Beis HaMikdash is temporary. Now, it's fascinating. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, the idea of kiddush, of sanctification, means two things. It means one thing in halachic terms. It means something else in what I call tamei mitzvahs. Because in tamei mitzvahs, when the Torah says v'yosuli migdash v'shachanti v'socham, the word v'socham, in terms of Taimei HaMitzvahs, means a lot more than just the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, it would have said B'socho. I forget who's famous for this. Either Rabbi Yitzchak Meraditcher or the Shalach Kadosh, if anybody can set me straight on that. But whoever it is famous for saying that the word B'socham means the Nefesh HaAdam. So in Hashkafic terms, you know, the soul of a person has to be a Beis HaMikdash. But sometimes, you know, to achieve that sanctification on a level of I am a Beis HaMikdash, I am the Mokom Ashras HaShechina, that could go through two different types of experiences. One could be a temporary experience. You know, you move from one station in life to the other, and in between you might fall. You know, if you in London, they say mind the gap. Have you ever been on a train in London? They call it the underground. You know, so the when the train comes, they say mind the gap. You know, there's always a little bit of a space, so you get off one at one tachana, and then you have to go over to another tachana. And sometimes, when one station in life to another, you fall down the middle. That's the Beis HaMikdash. But there's another thing which is called the Beis HaBechira. That's the permanent sanctification of a person's soul. And even if he falls from one level to the other, he still maintains that status as a Beis HaBechira. That's in Tamei HaMitzvos. In any event, if you take a fast look at the left column on page Chaf Aleph, which starts with a paragraph that starts the word Asher, he says the following, that these two dimensions, these two statusi, are really reflective of two different parashios in the Torah. The mitzvah of building the Migdash, which is that physical structure of Kedushas Mechitzos, and that's not limited to Yerushalayim, that can apply anywhere on the face of the globe. If we get just a dibur from Hashem, that's called the Asuli Migdash, and that's referring to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. And that's called a Bama Gedola. Bama Gedola means when for a certain temporary period of time there's one place exclusive for Karbanos. Masha Enkein Beis HaBechira, that's already a different parasha in the Torah. That's Ki Imal HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shichnot Sidrush Rubas HaShoma. That parasha is contingent upon entering into Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk says, "Ve'avartem es hayarden v'hoya amokom asher yivchar Hashem." And then, after you finish with the mitzvahs of Bini Melech and Mechias Amolek, then you build the Beis HaBechira, and that Beis HaBechira is Hamokom asher yivchar Hashem. And please keep in mind that who's going to start the process of Beis HaBechira?
It's the king.
But which king? There are two kings. You have two potential possible candidates here. The father or the son. Who am I? David or Shlomo? Who do you think? Again, I don't know how much you went through here in this parasha, in this presentation. Which of the two, the father or the son, is going to be involved in discovering and establishing the Beis HaBechira?
The father,
right. That's going to be David. Shlomo Melech is going to have, again, I don't want to use this term, but I'm tempted to use the term, a secondary role. He's going to set up the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaBechira is much more awesome and permanent and existential, if you will, than the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is four walls. And it's very possible that Kedusha Beis HaMikdash is going to last for four centuries or change, but that's it. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come along and destroy the Mikdash, and that's it. The Beis HaMikdash is gone. And again, you might say to me, well, I'm not allowed to bring any Karbanos on a Bama even after Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first Mikdash. That's for a different reason. That's not because of Dini Beis HaMikdash. That's because of the Din of what? A Beis HaBechira. Alkena Rambam, Bilchus Beis HaBechira, and the Rambam opens up the mitzvah in Hilchus Beis HaBechira of what? Of Binyan HaMikdash. And the Rambam points out that this mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash predates the Knesa L'Eretz Yisrael, and we're talking about the mitzvah of Yosuli Mikdash. Let's go back to the Rambam again, which we started with. The Rambam says, The Rambam says in Perek Aleph, Sholosh Mitzvahs. No, that's in Hilchos Melachim, sorry. The Rambam says, Mitzvahs Aseh Lasos Bayis Lashem. Okay, then you have the word v'chule. We'll fill in the word v'chule. It says, "Ukaris parsha b'Torah Mishkan sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu." So when the Rambam quotes the pasuk v'yasu l'migdash, that mandate is given to Moshe Rabbeinu for all doros, and that's the Beis HaMikdash, which is the physical structure, and is not dependent upon Yerushalayim. It can be established even in the Midbar of all places. And that's where the Rambam quotes the pasuk v'yasuli migdash, which is a command, first and foremost, to build a migdash in the Midbar, and then wherever else on the face of the earth you get the tzivui through a navi to build the Beis HaMikdash. Basha Enkein and Ilkas Malachim, there the Rambam is talking about the unique mitzvah Beis HaBechira, And that mitzvah beis habechira doesn't apply historically until the moment that Bnei Yisrael enter into the land of Israel. They establish a melech. They establish the melchama against Amalek, and now they have a mitzvah beis habechira. And therefore, Sholosh Mitzvah is Tavu Bnei Yisrael, B'knisosim La'aretz, Livnos Beis HaBechira. Remember, we pointed out that the phrase Beis HaBechira doesn't apply in Perek Alf Milchus Beis HaBechira. There he says, Lasos Bayis Lashem, V'yosuli Migdash. So he uses the word Bayis and Migdash. The word Bechira only appears in Hilchos Molochim after the Melech establishes a commonwealth and dominion over the land of Israel and primarily over Yerushalayim and the Har Moriah. Now we need Beis HaBechira, and that's going to be the requirement of L'Shichno Sidrishu Bas HaShama. And again, why are we being Dorish the Shekhinah? Because the Shekhinah represents the concept of Beis HaBechira. And again, this concept of Beis HaBechira is totally independent of the question of whether or not the destruction of the Churban would undermine the Kedusha. When we're talking about Beis HaBechira, that is the Makom of Shekhinah, and that never changes. And that generates an Iser Bamos Li'olam. Masha Enkein, if you're talking about Beis HaMikdash, then you have to enter into the whole question, what happens if the Mikdash is destroyed? Was the Kitshal Shaita, the Kitshal Asad, Lo Kitshal Asad Lo? So even if I own Lo Kitshal Asad Lo, that's only as far as Kedushas Mikdash is concerned, but as far as Beis HaBechira is concerned, that is an eternal mitzvah. Now let's see which of the kings, the father or the son, was Makai the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. So he quotes a Yalkud in Parshas Re'eh, and the Parsh in Re'eh is talking about the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira, L'shichto Sidru Shubas HaShama. And it says over there that what does it mean, Sidrishu? How are you going to be Doreshit? Alpi Navi. And which Navi do we have in mind? Which Navi is going to give us the clue and determine where the Beis HaBechira is going to be established? It's a fellow by the name of Gad, because he was one of two Nevi'im during the lifetime of David HaMelech that prophesied to David. And he's called Gad HaChozeh. And he comes along, according to the Medrash and the Yalkut in Re'eh, and he tells David HaMelech exactly where and how he's got to set up the Beis HaBechira. And first of all, he tells Bimikol Shivtechem, in other words, you have to gather together monies from all the Shvatim, and he takes Chamishim Shkolim from each Shevet. That doesn't seem like much of a donation, by the way. I would have upped the antes, okay. And anyway, it says that the Netilas Shkolim is going to be a Kiyum of Beis HaBechira. And that's a separate din in Beis HaBechira. The Beis HaBechira has to be establishing the Beis HaBechira has to be an action that is representative or is kolel all the Shvatim together. Through what process? Through the process of Netilas Shkolim. And now it's David HaMelech who gets the word from Gad HaMchozeh exactly where to establish the Beis HaBechira. And the Beis HaBechira also needs a process of Kiddush. Now, there's a Sugin Shavuos, I think we hinted at it yesterday, that tells us the exact complicated ceremony and process of Kiddush, which means we require a Navi, an Urim V'Tumim, we need a Sanhedrin, we need Lachamim, and we need a whole ceremony. Now, who is Mekayim this entire process? Well, you need a Melech. Who's the Melech in this case? David. Who's the Navi in this case? God. The Urim V'Tumim was there. The Sanhedrin was there. Everything was ready. And now we're ready for Kiddush Ha'ir V'Azoros. And that's the din of Kiddush HaSamokom, which engenders a Kiyum of Beis HaBechira. And now we can reconcile the two Ramas. Or shall I say the Rambam with the Gemara? The Rambam on the one hand says that it was Shlomo HaMelech who is Mekadesh. Okay, let's go back to the first Rambam Perek Vav. The Rambam is clearly talking about the Beis HaMikdash because he goes into the question of Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Asad, Lo Kitchel Asad Lavo. He's talking about a Maisa Kiddush on the Azor in Yerushalayim, which now applies as a kiyum of Beis HaMikdash. And in this context of Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam enters into the issue of whether the Mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash are absolutely critical. And then he says, well, who is Mekadesh the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is Shlomo. And that's based on a sugya called Kiddush B'Shas Binyan, that simultaneously with the building of the structure, this Kiddush. But again, which kind of Kiddush are we talking about? The Kiddush of what? The Beis HaMikdash, not the Kiddush of Beis HaBechira. So when the Rambam is talking about the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash, he's talking about the Kiddush of Shlomo HaMelech. And that's what he's referring to in Perek Vav Milchus Beis HaBechira. I, the Gemara in Tzvachim, says that David HaMelech was Mekadesh, and the Gemara asks, well, what kind of Kiddush was it? Was it just the Ritzbel Yono or Adetomis, Ha'ara? That sugi is talking not about the mitzvah of Mikdash, but rather about the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. And who is involved in that process of Kiddush? David HaMelech. So Rambam, he's talking here in Perek Vav Milchus Beis HaBechira about Kiddushas Mikdash. And that's why he enters into this whole discussion about lost in love or not lost in love. That Kiddush of the Mechitzos was certainly established and engendered by Shlomo HaMelech. And that's based on, reflects the principle called B'Shas Kiddush, B'Shas Binyan Kiddush. And in fact, the Rambam himself quotes the pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Ches, which says, "Bayomahu kidesh haMelech el tocha chotzer." So, in the process of being mekadesh the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech was mekadesh the chotzer. Ay, the sugin zvachim chav dalid ki kodesh David Ritzbel Yona kodesh. The Rambam interprets that's not referring to kedushas Mikdash, but rather to kedushas Beis HaBechira, which was effectuated by David HaMelech, as we explained earlier. And that kiddush is not a kiddush b'shas binyan. That just means identifying the place as the makom, a Beis HaBechira, the chosen place, and then being mekadesh the makom as a Beis HaBechira. And that kiddush would be Mekadesh Yerushalayim and the Mokom HaMikdash. That kiddush has nothing to do with the Mechitzos per se, but when we get to Kedushas Mikdash, that's a kiddush engendered by Kedushas Mechitzos, meaning setting up the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Naflu Mechitzos, if you hold low kiddush Lassud Lavo, the whole kiddush goes up in smoke. It's gone, it's void, it's history. Mashenke Chlos Beis HaBechira, which is a din in Kedushas Makom. Makom is a more abstract concept. It's a Makom of Hashras Hashchina, and that's exclusive of one Makom as far as the other, you know, the balance of all the other makomos, candidates on the face of the earth. Eina shayeches lemechitzos. Kedushas makom is not dependent upon mechitzos, and therefore, even after churban, this kedusha still exists, and therefore, the iser of bamos is going to be continuously generated by this kedusha called Beis HaBechira. And again, you have to build a Beis HaMikdash in the place which is called the Beis HaBechira. Obviously, that's what Hashem says. I've chosen this place for my bias. You have to build up a bias. But nevertheless, the fundamental, essential Kedusha is the Kedusha's Makom. And that Kedusha's Makom can even preempt the building of the Beis HaMikdash, just like it exists even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what David effectuated. So as Shmuel was saying before, David dedicated so much of his life to searching and trying to discover the exact location of this hidden, clandestine Makom Beis HaBechira. He saw it as his life's project, because he knew that it was him, it was he who was chosen for the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. And when he did the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira and fulfilled that mitzvah, he was Mekadesh the Makom of the Mizbeach, of the Azora, and the Kedushas Mikdash. Well, Rabosa, we got halfway through. I see I'm losing you a little bit. No? So that's going to be to reconcile David and Shlomo. Again, just to summarize, David was Mekadesh for what mitzvah? Beis HaBechira. And Shlomo was Mekadesh for the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, which is much more, shall I say, technical, cut and dry, restricted mitzvah. It depends on the structure of the Mechitzos. And for that, you don't need Shiftei Yisrael, and that And in and of itself, that Kedusha is very transitory. It depends upon the Kedusha's Mechitzos. It might be gone with the Churban. And not only that, with its Churban, there would be a Heter Bamos. It's not limited to any place. The Kedusha's Migdash could apply in the Midbar, as it did in Shiloh, etc., etc. But the Kedusha's Pesach Bechir is exclusively in the Makom HaMigdash in Yerushalayim. That was effectuated by David, the source of that mitzvah. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Mishi Kansu Le'eretz Yisrael is L'shichto Sidrushu Bas Hashama Mashenki, the mitzvah Beis HaMikdash, which could be established anywhere on the face of the earth, and the first Beis HaMikdash in fact was in the Midbar. That's derived from the parash in Truma V'yosuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. That Kedusha of a Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash is not dependent upon entering into Eretz Yisrael. And it may be, very well be dependent upon the mechitzos. It does not engender an iser bamos li olam. And therefore, when Shlomo HaMelech was mekadish the Azara, in and of itself, that kiddush could be viewed as a temporary process. And with the destruction of the Mikdash, that would be gone. But the only thing is that there still remains the kedusha of Beis HaBechir. So I'm gonna leave that, you know, at this point, leave it here at that. Everyone here is invited to read the second half of this essay.
The Kedusha of the Beit HaBechir is forever, but it's not enough to nullify Hava Bama Bechutz. You can have
The Beis HaBechir?
Yeah.
That would nullify Bava Bechutz Ledore Doros. Why? Because once the place is chosen, you can never have a Bava Bechutz.
So if David HaMelech established the Beit HaBechir at the point of the...
Right.
Then why was even Noah allowed and Shiloh allowed?
Because that was all before David HaMelech. But in that period in that period of time, here's Ben's question. Halach l'maisa. Again, it's not halach l'maisa today. But let's say you were alive, and imagine what the various garments you'd be wearing back in the time of David HaMelech. You were alive.
There's an expression, but he would have loved it.
Yeah, I think I would have.
How he dressed when he was younger.
Yeah, I've gotten a kick out of that myself, actually. But so imagine the following period of time. Let's say between David's kiddush at the end of his life and Shlomo building the Beis HaMikdash, somebody would want to be makrim in a bama. Again, there's no mikdash. Could he be makrim in a bama? The same Jew between Midbar and let's say Gilgal would be allowed to build a Bama. Between the end of Gilgal and Shiloh would be allowed to build a Bama. Between the end of Shiloh and Nov, etc., etc., would be allowed to be a Bama. But now in all those cases, for one reason, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So now I'm asking you, David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. He established the Makom as a Makom Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech has not yet gotten around to build the Beis HaMikdash. In that period of time, I don't know exactly how long it is, let's say it's 30 years, I don't know, you have to learn Tanakh for that. I want to build a Bama on my backyard. You would have said it's mutar. And the Rav Soloveitchik is saying, no, it's also. Why? Because the very moment that David HaMelech established the Kedusha of Beis HaMechira, even though he hasn't yet put up the structure, the Mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash, is an Isur Bama Le'olam.
I'm not sure. I thought at the end he was saying that the Isur of Bama Le'olam is dependent on...
On the structure of the Mikdash, that was supposed to be classified information. You know, I haven't already finished the whole article. I mean, I only got through half of the article.
If I understood it correctly, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, again, he has a lot of caches, and then he has to do some backwater paddling over.
So otherwise,
there.
How could you offer the tamid? Right.
Right. Well, obviously, you can't offer the tamid without a mizbeach and without a Beis HaMikdash. But again, do you hear the structure of it? You know, we started with such like a technical question that seems secondary. You know, is it David? Is it Shlomo? Like, pardon the expression, like, who cares, right? You know what I'm saying? And then from that, you know, you build up an entire, you know, I don't want to call it a structure because Beis HaMechir doesn't depend upon the structure right now. But a fantastical understanding which puts so many different things into perspective about Isur Bamos, about God HaNovi, about Kol Shivteichem, about the different parshas in the Torah. One parsha speaks about Beis HaMechir, the other parsha speaks about a Makom HaMikdash, V'yasuli Mikdash. The Rambam in two different places quoting the two different psukim. And all this to answer is an initial kasha, that how can the Rambam says that Shlomo was Makadish the Azorah, when the Sugin Zvachim Chavtal it says that David was Makadish the Asor. It's such a, and what it teaches you, again, if you're interested in what I call Derech HaLivud, is that sometimes you have to pay attention to the real nitty gritty details. You know, I'm learning Zvachim now on a fast pace, and I'm losing the forest from the trees because there's so many minutia of details, and you know, just speed reading, that's not going to do it for you. You know, you can't really get down to the depths of it, you know, without paying attention to all these little nitty gritty details. I'm learning a sugya now, Machlokes Shin Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, about the size of the chatzer and the height of the, so the width and the length, was it 5 amos, was it 10 amos, you know, where exactly was Pesach Ol Moed, meaning you have to be Mechavin Keneged the Pesach HaHechol, and was the Ulam, did it have the same Kedusha as the HaHechol, or it's two separate Kedushos, and where do you situate the Kiyor, and should the Kiyor be between the Pesach HaHechol and the Mizbeach, is it a Chatzitza? I mean, and after a while, you get overwhelmed by the details of the thing. But that's because you're not doing a good job. Each one of those details is critical. Now, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, there's going to be a major machlokas as to whether or not you can be makriv a korban on the Ritzvah Sazor. I mean, that requires a tremendous amount of knowledge.
I mean, Lahavdo, Tumen Tara goes up and down. So shouldn't Kedusha also, Lahavdo, go up and down? I mean, like, you can't fly over Harabai. Is that Kedusha?
Well,
maybe it's,
well,
from the core of the earth to Shemayim, it's Kadosh La'olam.
That has to do with the sugya of Mechitzos. Remember, we say that the Kedushas Migdash is the Kedushas Mechitzos. Now, where is that Kedusha? Is it limited to the height of the Mechitzos, and above the Mechitzos is no Kedusha? Or is there a Kedush that goes above and beyond Mechitzos? I'll give you an example that's practical even today. What would be if I built a sukkah and I would put poles on the top part of my defanos, and then I would hang my schach on the top of these poles? Now the sukkah itself has to be surrounded by schach, but my schach is not sitting on the mechitzos because I put up these thin poles that. So that's called Godasik Mechitzos, which means that Mechitzos magically just go, they keep going up and up and up. So in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, once you set up the Mechitzos of the Mikdash, then it could be that the Kedushas HaMikdash goes all the way up and up because of the Mechitzos that surround that place. Now you're saying to me, well, I don't see any Mechitzos. They're all the way at the bottom. You know, I'm up in a parachute, you know, I'm doing paragliding. I don't see any Mechitzos. I look to the left, I look to the right. But there's something called imaginary mechitzos. And that has tremendous implications in Masechta Shabbos. But you remember that we started Masechta Shabbos conveniently from Perikira. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. The reason we did that is because we don't know beans about mechitzos. And if you want to learn Shabbos properly, especially the first 8 blot in Shabbos, you got to know Hilchos Mechitzos. But the problem is, to know the first 8 blot in Shabbos, you have to know all of Masechta Erevin.
Back to Erevin.
So it's just endless. So the word mechitzos for me is like, you know, like I get an allergic reaction. As soon as you say the word mechitzos, I start getting hives, you know, because Reb Chaim Brisker and his son Reb Moshe Soloveitchik both dedicate major chunks of their work to try to understand how mechitzos operate. So when I tell you that kachim is more complicated than physics and chemistry together, I'm not far from right, because it's just, you know, endless, you know. I wanted to get into, you know, we started in Sechta Zvachim with Machsheves Lishma, Machsheves Shalol Lishma, Machsheves Pigul, Chutzim Komo, and you know, I'm having a blast. You know, I'm beginning to feel a little bit oriented. But then they hit you with Beis HaBechira, one blot after the other. And you don't know beads about Beis HaBechira. You don't know where the you know, Yechezkel has a Nevuah and he perceives of the Mikdash Shlishi, and then you have the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu with his Mizbeach, and then you have Shlomo Melech, and what exactly was Shlomo doing, and what he was doesn't do is Mekadosh Azara, Mekadosh the Ritzvah. You know, now you have to know Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Now, to know Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it's not enough to open up Zvachim and try to figure that out. You have to know all Masechta Midos. That's another Masechta. It's kind of overwhelming. But I'm still hanging in there. How long I'm going to hang in there, I don't know, but I'm still hanging in there. Sometimes it's by the, you know, the skin of my teeth. Other times I'm feeling, you know, very well grounded. All right, I wanted to talk to you about this concept of the Kohen being well grounded on the Ritzpas Hazara in order to do the Hazara, to do the Avoda. That's a Sugya Daf Chav Dal. So in order to appreciate that, I wanted to show you an essay. Again, we won't be able to do it today, but at least we'll get a Haskalah, which is published in a sefer called Kovetz Chidushei Torah, and it's called Be'inyan Hishtachavol L'Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. So for this we have to know two Masechtas. We have to know Masechta Tamid and Masechta Yoma. And in Masechta Tamid, the Mishnayos keep repeating like a refrain that the Kohen, when he exits from the Heichal, he has to do what's called Hishtachava. Do you remember, Don, I mentioned that word yesterday, to prostrate yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just very quickly read to you the Mishnayos in Tamid. Misha Zacha Bedishun HaMenorah. Where was the menorah? In the Heichal, correct? So now this particular Kohen won the lottery ticket for today. So he gets the Dishan HaMenorah. Okay, you have to see whether he does the Dishan of the Mizbeach HaMizbeach HaPnimi first, because Eim Avir Nal Mitzvus, you may remember that we discussed that. But in any event, the Mishnah says, U'mishtachva v'yotze. He's got to prostrate himself before he goes out. Okay. I knew a Rosh Hashiva who, again, I wasn't the Talmud of his, but I knew him, and my father worked for him actually for about 6 months. And when you left his presence, you had to sort of bow going backwards. He was makpid on that.
Wow.
I guess he held himself to be the Shechina itself. And anyway, then Misha Zocher B'Machta, this is in a different Mishnah in Talmud. Right, so he had to take the Gecholim from one Mizbeach onto another Mizbeach, so he had to leave the Heichal, and Mishtachem Eviyotze. And the same thing with regard to the Ketores, and it just repeats itself over and over again. Long list of Mishnayos.
He bowed down, or he had to stretch
he had
out
to,
on the
no,
floor.
Bow down means, stretch whenever out you floor. See the word Ishtachava, yeah. It means his face is on the ground,
right,
and his
right.
feet are on the ground on the other side. That's called Pishud Yodayim V'Raglayim.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Sugi Masech Techun. In any event, when we get to the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, strangely enough, the Rambam completely omits mention of Ishtachava. Now we know that the Kohen Gadol goes Lifnim, and even Lifnai V'Lifnim, so he's definitely deep in the Heichal, and even deeper into the Kodesh Kadoshim. He's going to do the Avodos of a normal Kohen would do the rest of the year, so he's going to do the Aktoris Aktoris, for example. I mean, we could give many other examples. And yet the Rambam doesn't mention anything about Ishtachava. Now this halach of Ishtachava, based on the Mishnayos in Tamid, is a basic halach of what we call a Kiyum in Migdash. You know, the various mitzvahs that you have to apply and you have to fulfill in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them is incumbent on a Kohen HaOved when he goes into the Heichal, and now he leaves the Heichal, he has to do a Ishtachava. The Pasuk itself says, Ishtachava Lifnei Hashem. In this case, Lifnei Hashem is referring to the Heichal. And now the Kohen Gadol is going into the Heichal. And L'chora, we would certainly anticipate that there would be some footnote here, some mention of Ishtachava, and the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur would be required to do this Ishtachava. And lo and behold, it's completely omitted. It's omitted in the Mishnayos, it's omitted in the Sugis in Yoma, it's omitted by the Rambam Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The impression you get is that the Kohen Gadol was not Mishtachave. Now, with all due respect to the Kohen Gadol, he's doing the identical Avodos that a Kohen Hedger would have been doing the rest of the year. Why shouldn't he be required to do this Ishtachava in the Heichal before he exits from the Heichal? That's the basic question. Now, to answer this question, Rav Soloveitchik goes through three different sugyas in Shas, one in Chulin, another in Zvachim, and third one in Yoma. They're all different sugyas. And he picks up something from each sugya. And the most fundamental I think, dimension of this whole presentation is a lav that's written in the Torah. It says, "Kol Adam lo yevi'ol moed b'bo'ol l'chapim," that when the Kohen Gadol enters into the Heichal, no one is allowed to be with him. Actually, Chazal said even a malach couldn't go in there. And this is a lav that's counted in the Tariq Mitzvahs. Not only that, although that's one sugya in Zvachim, there's another sugya in Yuma on Daf Mem Daled which elaborates this and says that no one's allowed to be with him from the time he enters in to the Heichal until the time he exits from the Heichal, he meaning the Kohen Gadol, even if he's not doing the Avodah. You know, it takes him a minute or two until he gathers together, you know, his whatever he has to do, and he's ready to do the Avodah. He entered into the Heichal. He has to walk a couple of steps as well till he gets to the Bizbach HaPnimi. And nevertheless, the lav applies mi boa v'yatseiso. That's a sugin yuma. Meaning, from the time he enters into the Heichal until the time he exits the Heichal, no one is allowed to be with him.
Sounds troublesome. He's to bring the animals with him.
Well, he's mostly in there to do the Aktoris Aktoris. I mean, that's a heavy piece of work in and of itself. But in any event, what the Rav tries to prove, based on all these sugyas, again, I'm going to just summarize a few now, is that the kiyum of Kohen in the Heichal begins from the moment he enters and continues non-stop until he exits. He's always considered involved in the Avodah, even though he's not physically involved in the Avodah, but he is, so to speak, potentially involved in the Avodah. He's standing, waiting to do the Avodah. And not only that, he's wearing special begadim when he goes into the Heichal in the Kodesh Kadosh. What's that called? Big Day Lavan, you know, the white garments, as opposed to all the Avodas that he does outside the Heichal, which he does in golden garments, the Big Day Zav. But the main point in Rav Soloveitchik's Chiddush is that although there's a Maisa Bia when he enters into the Heichal, there's a Maisa Yitzia when he exits from the Heichal, but his status as a Kohen extends from the time he goes in until he goes out. He has another Sugin Yuma that the Kohen Gadol, after he finished the Avod in the Kodesh Kadoshim of the Aktoras Aktoras, he would wait, he would procrastinate before he left Adshe Tamale Habayis Kulo Oshan, until the smoke would fill up the entire Kodesh Kadoshim. So even at that point, he has the status of a Kohen Gadol who's doing the Avodah Lifnim. Oh. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say the following. I'll read to you the key line here. He says, "Bechol eis heyoso sham ad seiso," from the moment he enters and he remains until he leaves, "sarach hakohen," meaning the Kohen Gadol, "lios mukhsho le'avodah," he has to be ripe and ready and potential to do the Avodah. "Sheyeh kosher v'roy l'avodah," he has to be lavish and big day love on. And there's one kiyum that stretches and connects the moment that he enters until the moment he exits. It's all one kiyum and one maisa avodah. "V'osel olios af rega echad below hechsher avodah. Ubechal eis hayoso sham ad yitziyaso, ubekiyum avoda," like as if he's doing the avoda itself, he has to be mukshar for the avoda. Oh, so therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, lefi zeh nicha, I can now begin to understand why there's no mention of ishtachava during the special avoda sayom lifnim of the Kohen Gadol in Big Day Lavan. Can anybody guess what the Rav is going to say now? Why is Hashtachava completely omitted with regard to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur, Lifnai V'Lifnim, when he goes into the Heichal?
Because he's wearing different
big... No, he's wearing Big Day Lavan.
Right.
But the main point is that he has to be Mukhshar, I'll read it to you once more time. He has to be Roy Lavod, Behechshar Avod, Bechol Eis, from the moment that he enters into the Heichal, the Ad Seiso. Because that's one long kiyum of avoda. So he has to be mukshal avoda. Can anyone tell me now why we omit hishtachava?
Because it's when he's leaving. No.
Again, I wanted to add this to our discussion on Daf Chav Dalet, that a Kohen is only kosher avoda when he's standing on the floor of the Ritzpah. Here, he's doing Pishut Yadayv Raglayim. That's not a Midah. That's even more radical and more profound than Yeshiva. Right? Yeshiva itself passes the avoda, but how much more so with the Kal V'chomer, Pishut Yadayv Raglayim. Lefi Zer, Hare Nicha, Mashal Ohuzkar, Dinesh Tachavah, Gabi Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Koi Godel Yom HaKippurim Lefnai, Vilefnim, or in the Heichal. Deve'emes also lo lishtachavos, Darei Hishtachavah, He bepishut Yadayv Raglayim, and he quotes all the Sugis and Shas to prove that, and the Rambam passes like that in Perek Vav. The Gemara in Zvachim Adaf Chavdal derives this from a pasuk v'Amad. Ubekohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim b'Avodos Hanasos b'Big Day Lavan Din Amida Shaych L'Chol Eis HaYosasham Mi B'Yoso V'Ad Yitzioso. He goes on at the end of this article to prove that the Kohen Gadol did do a number of Shtachavos on Yom HaKippur, but only when he wore the Big Day Zav and he wasn't in the Heichal of the Kodesh Kadoshim. He has Diyukim in the Rambam to that effect. But as long as he was involved in those special avodos that were in the Heichal or in the Kodesh Kadosh, and he wore Big Day Lavan, he has a Kiyum avoda that takes him from the moment of Bia until the moment of Yitzia. Kol Zman Hayoso Sham. And therefore he has to be Roy and Mukshal avoda if he does the Shtachavah, Pishon Yadayv Raglayim, his Mafki himself, Mi Avoda Midin Amida. He doesn't have the required Amida, and that's why Shtachavah is absolutely prohibited. And once again, I raise the question, why did it take 2,000 years? Well, close to 2,000 years till somebody figured this out, you know what I'm saying? Of course, Rav Soloveitchik would say it's Parshat, it's in the Rambam, it's in the Mishnah, but I don't think anybody ever thought of this until this Chiddush. Now, I would like to ask you possibly to photocopy one more page for tomorrow. Okay then, so we'll stop here and I'll give you that page, and tomorrow Mirtz Hashem we'll take a look at a sugya, a very fascinating sugya on Daf Samach. Because again, what I'm doing is we're going to hone in on sugyas. Today was a pure Iyun shiur without going through the Gemara, but we've made a decision and we voted on it, so it's democratic, and we decided that we're going to go inside with Gemara and Rashi, maybe even select the Tosis. Okay then, 11:45 if you're around. What? There are a couple of different topics. Give me a little time to work it out. I have three different candidates. Daf Samach is a wonderful daf where I feel a little bit more comfortable. It has to do with a pagam in the Mizbeach. There was a nick in the Mizbeach. And the question is that the same as having no Mizbeach, which means that they can't have a Zrikas Adam because the Mizbeach is not kosher? We're going to ask the question of Dichui. Have you ever heard of Dichui? Meaning, what happens if this animal was sanctified at a time when the Mizbeach was pogum, which means that at this point there's no way you can take this carbon shechted and bring it on the Mizbeach because the Mizbeach is deficient. It's defective, if I can use that term. Do we say dichui, that even when we fix up the Mizbeach, we can no longer bring these carbonos because at the moment of Hakdasha, there was already a din dichui, it was already rejected because there was no Mizbeach kosher. Okay then, gentlemen?
Sure.
Thank you so much. And let's...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I missed the punchline. So he's wearing the Big Day Lavan.
Right.
And the whole, from the time he enters to the time he leaves, is considered all...
One continuous avod.
So the punchline is why he's not required to back.
And not even allowed.
And that's... I missed the punchline.
Oh, because of the halacha of Amidu, there's a requirement in a Kohen, in order to be kosher avoda, he has to be standing with his feet directly connected to the Ritzvah Sazorah.
Ah.
When he does his Shtachavah, which the Rav proves.
So when he's coming out, he's still considered to be doing the avoda, so he has to continue.
Before he leaves, right before he exits, which is the moment where during the rest of the year, Hashtachavah would be a requirement.
Right.
He doesn't have that opportunity because until he leaves the Heichal, he's standing ready as Mukshal Avoda, which he can't, that can't be reconciled with Pishut Yadayim Vrag. Okay then?
He can't even take a sitting break.
What'd he say?
Can't even take a sitting break.
Right, no sitting break.
I thought he said cigarette break. No cigarette break.